you can be seated. And as you're grabbing a seat, I want to start off with this evening. Probably not something you were thinking about. Leprosy is a terrible disease. I don't know when you woke up this morning if you thought that's what we'd talk about, but we are tonight. In fact, I'd say it's so terrible that I probably need you to hear this disclaimer this evening. If you are squeamish, if you don't want to see something that's probably gross, in just a second, we went over this before. We're going to put something on the screen. It's a picture of what leprosy looks like. So if you need to close your eyes, if you need to hide behind someone, whatever you need to do, if that's not what you want to see today, go ahead and do that. You've been warned, okay? Is everybody on the same page? Did we all hear that? This is like the I acknowledge that time, okay, right? Okay, for everybody else, here's a picture of what leprosy can look like. I looked through a lot of pictures of leprosy to find one that was even okay for this evening. This is kind of a PG, for lack of a better term, photo of what leprosy looks like and what it can do. You can go ahead and take it off and we won't show it again the rest of the evening. It is a disease that causes skin lesions, so kind of what you saw there, and at the same time causes nerve damage. Now, to me and you today, just so you, in case you're like one of those people that you're like, you're gonna leave here and you're gonna have this new irrational phobia of like, what if I get leprosy? You're gonna not get it. Like, you're gonna be okay because it can just be treated today, and especially if it's early, no big deal at all. But back in the day, back in biblical times, this was a death sentence. This was something that not only assured that you were going to die a pretty slow, pretty painful death, but that you'd be kicked out of town. You're not allowed to be around other people because it was really contagious. So they sent people away out of town, out of the camp, so to speak. They were dependent on other people to live. They didn't have a way to work. They didn't have a way to provide for themselves. And so they would beg on the outskirts of town, please, can you just give me something so that I don't die of starvation before I die of leprosy? This was a death sentence in the days that the story that we're going to go over today was written. No one could heal them, okay? And so just as we get started this evening, before we even read our text, I can't emphasize this enough. It's not with leprosy, but every one of us in this room is sick. We all have a sickness that we can't heal. And that's the beauty of the story that we're going to read tonight, is not just a story of a leper, someone with leprosy, but what their interaction and their encounter with Jesus looked like. So if you have a Bible, we're going to be in the last little part of Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. I'm going to read this, and then we'll kind of break it down verse by verse as we go through. But look at verse 40 of Mark chapter 1. It says, "And a leper came to him, namely Jesus, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' And moved with pity, he being Jesus, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing, what Moses commanded, for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter." Let's pray first and we'll get into this. Jesus, we pray that you'd be with us tonight. Jesus, that you'd teach us your ways tonight, and that when we leave here this week, that we would walk in your paths. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so for a breakdown for tonight, if you're one of those people that's like, what's the point? What's the structure? What are we going to learn? Most of our time is going to be spent on those first three verses, 40, 41, and 42. We're going to spend the majority of our time, the bulk of our time there, and then we're going to close with verses 43 through 45. So most of our time is going to be spent on the miracle of Jesus cleansing the leper, but then we're going to look at the end, the response to what Jesus did. So look at verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." In other gospel accounts, we just don't have the time to go through it all this evening. It starts off and it says, "Behold," when Jesus is telling this story, he's like taking a flare gun and shooting and saying, "Hey, pay attention to this. This is big. This is significant, what's happening here." Now, again, just if you didn't catch the first picture, I have another picture for you. It's a little bit more lighthearted. This is Jesus, a cartoon reenactment. He says, "Lepers, I heal lepers." So if you're like, what is a leper doing in the Bible story? It's a leper, okay? A leper came to him, someone that was on the outskirts of town, was dependent on other people for survival, had no hope, had been abandoned. He comes begging Jesus. He's imploring him. He's what? Kneeling. Kneeling, as you know, can be a position of begging for someone, but as we just worship together, have you ever noticed people that are really worshiping the Lord? Maybe they've been going through a lot. What do? You get down on your knees. I don't know if you've spent time alone with the Lord lately in prayer, but so often when we need something, when we're kind of at our wit's end and we're just begging God, we can get down on our knees, and he is at the end of himself. He's probably, I mean, think about it. If you're in that same position, no one's there for you. You've been abandoned. You've tried probably everything else in life. You've probably tried to medicate the pain that you feel. You've probably tried to distract from what's going on. I mean, you could just see your skin coming off your body. Can you imagine what that does to your mind? And he's just come to this place where he's done, and he comes into town to see Jesus and begs him for a miracle. Notice the posture. He's kneeling. He's begging God. Greek is a great language because English can be pretty limiting. For example, I love my wife with the passion of 1,000 fiery suns, the mother of my children, the woman that changed my entire life. And I also love apple fritters from Shipley's. Have you ever had one of those? Same word, way different meaning, way different connotation, right? And so when you read this in the language that it was written, when it says the leper's like, "Man, I know you can make me clean. I know you can cleanse me." He's not just saying like, "Hey, you can kind of make this gross skin thing go away." No, it'll be on the screen. The Greek word is katharizo. It's what it comes from. But there's really three different uses of the word. There's the physical, okay? And surely that's going on. I mean, the physical side of this is nasty. It's one of the reasons that they're sent away from everybody else is because nobody wants to even look at them. And so he's saying, "Hey, can you cleanse me? Can you clean me? Can you make me new?" Yes, physically, but also think about this in a moral sense. In that day and time for Jews, the Levitical law, the priestly law, the rule of the day was like, if you weren't clean before the Lord, you couldn't come into the presence of God. And so the word that he uses here is specific language for a reason. He's asking him to make him clean physically, morally, and in the eyes of the law. But let's not wait till like the end of today. Sometimes we do this, right? You're like, it's the very first few minutes of tonight, so we're going to wait till the end before there's like any form of application for my life. No, we're going to jump straight into it today. Are you living your life right now saying, "I'm good. I got it. Like, there's some problems, but for the most part, I think I have this figured out"? Or are you desperate for a life-changing miracle that only Jesus can provide? That's where he was. The leper was out of options. He was running out of time. And he had finally come to the conclusion that everybody else knew he was going to die. A lot of the time we can go, man, I know what's going on in here, but like, I'm going to smile. I'm going to act like things are fine, but I'm good. Man, I want you to ask yourself that tonight. Like, the leper got this. Do you get this? That we're not good, that we're not doing okay, that we don't just need a little bit of help. We need a new life. We need to be made clean. Are you good? Write this down. Ask yourself this. Like, this is for later. Are you good, or are you desperate for what only God can do in your life? Look at verse 41. This is Jesus's response to a desperate, hopeless man. It says, moved with what? Pity. This is the Son of God, God in the flesh. He's moved with what? He stretched out his hand and touched him, and let's do this together, and said to him, I will what? Be clean. The God of the universe in flesh says, I see you, and I'm moved by what's going on, and I see your situation, and I'm willing to make you new. What I think is so beautiful about how Jesus talks and what Jesus does is every time there's a physical miracle, and hear me say this, this is huge. We're going to get into this a little bit more, but the significance of being a leper in this day and time was basically as good as being dead. And so you've heard the stories of Jesus raising the dead to life, but to do this was nothing short of that. But every time Jesus performs a physical miracle, it's pointing to a greater spiritual work that he does in our life. So when Lazarus is raised from the dead, man, we're dead spiritually. There's nothing that we can do on our own to earn life everlasting. We've forfeited that with our sin. And so us, we as humans, nobody's ever had to teach you how to sin. Have you noticed that? You didn't have to study to learn how to lie. You probably remember the first time that your mom was like, did you do this? And you're like, uh-uh. And you can't even keep a straight face. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody has to teach you how to do that, right? Man, when Jesus makes us new, he doesn't just clean us up. He gives us a new life. He gives us hope. He reconciles us to a God that we were separated from because of what we've done. And when Jesus does this and interacts with the leper, Jesus reaches in while everybody else runs away. Okay, so think about it. If you lived in today, somebody has leprosy today, and you know because of what I just told you, because I checked it on the internet, so it's got to be true, right? There's a cure for leprosy now, and I guarantee you if somebody walked in with leprosy, all y'all would run out as fast as you could, right? Everybody ran away from people like this. These are the least of these in society, and what does Jesus do? Someone that the priests, get this, the religious people of this time, they would brag to one another about what they would do to make sure they never got close to a leper so they could always be ceremonially clean, so they could always look good before other people. They would run away from them. They would take a long way around. They would even take rocks and throw them at people that are dying so they wouldn't get close to what's sick and what's dirty and what's dying. And we see the God of the universe reach in, reach toward the most unclean, the most sick, and lovingly say, hey, I do will that you would be made new. What we see in this passage is that Jesus operates with a willingness and an ability to save. He shows sympathy. The God of the universe that we've sinned against shows sympathy. He was moved with pity, but he also shows supremacy. He can say, be clean, and the leper is made clean. He shows sympathy, he shows supremacy, and he shows them simultaneously. Think about this. The sovereign God of the universe, Jesus, God in the flesh, takes his hands Hands that, man, if we could just see them today, think about that. The holes and the nails in there. And I think most of us in this room would say, man, if I could just see Jesus, I would believe. And in the midst of all these other religious people that run away because they don't want to get dirty, and they're the point person of the day to say, hey, this is who God is. This is what God can do in your life, and they just run because they're scared of getting dirty. The pure and perfect God in the flesh, Jesus, comes, and he's not worried about getting dirty. He's not worried about being made unclean because there's nothing that can take that away from our God. And he sees the leper, and he puts his hand on him, and he says, I do will be made clean. These are the same hands. Think about this. Let's take a little jog through our Bible. These are the same hands that multiplied the loaves of bread and the fish. These are the same hands that saved sinking Peter in the waves. These are the same hands that healed Jairus' dead daughter. The same hands that gave sight to the blind. The same hands that healed the bleeding woman. The same hands that cast out demons. And the same hands that were ultimately nailed to a cross for you and for me. These are the hands that are outstretched saying, come to me, I'll make you new. Guys, this is significant, and it begs another question. Like, what do we do with this? What are we doing in our own life? The leper gets it. Do we get it? Who are you looking to for help today? Are you looking for just somebody to say, hey, you got this, let me give you a little pat on the back, but you got it, you're gonna be fine? Or are you saying, I'm done, I need to be made new, I need Jesus and a miracle because nothing else is enough? That's what I need. The leper gets it. Do you get it? Who are you looking to for help? I don't want anything this world has to offer. I've had enough of that. Anybody started to go down that road before and see what the world has to offer? Gets empty pretty quick, huh? Promises everything, leaves you with? Real fast. And Jesus looks at him and says, I will. I see you. I'll meet you where you are, and I'll make you new. And look at verse 42. And immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately. And he was made clean. Immediately and forever. It doesn't come back. You don't flip to chapter 2 and it says, and suddenly the leprosy was back. You're like, that's some Marvel stuff going on there, right? No, it leaves him immediately and it leaves him forever. But what does made clean mean again? He didn't just walk away and he's like, hey, I don't look gross anymore. No, he is physically healed, but morally and in the eyes of the law, what's the significance of this? There's going to be a quote on the screen from the Precept Austin commentary. It says, notice the two descriptions, both the leprosy left and was cleansed. The former describing the physical aspects of his scaly skin rash, and the latter describing the fact that with the clearing of the skin rash, he was now ceremonially clean. Read this last sentence. He would be able to go into the temple for the first time in likely many years. Because of how he was physically, they wouldn't let him go be in the presence of God. And Jesus, the Son of God, sees him, makes him clean, so that now he can be in the presence of his heavenly Father. Because of what Jesus did, the man could be in the presence of God, made clean. And we, hear me, we today can be made clean, and we can be in the presence of God by the power of Jesus. Not us and not our performance, not the empty promises of the world, but the power of Jesus. We can be made whole and we can be made right in the standing that we have with God today because of the power of Jesus. The leper got it. Do we? So ask yourself this. I told you we're not going to wait to the end for application. We're going to drill this today. Think about this. Do you want to be cleansed or do you want to be comfortable? So many of us come in here tonight because we're like, man, I'll get my Jesus stuff. The worship is so good, man. I'll feel great and I'll leave and I'll just be okay for the week. You're missing it. Do we want to be cleansed, made new, made in right standing with the God of the universe that we sinned against, or do we just want to be comfortable? Do you want to be made new, holy, and pure, or are you praying for things in your life just to be comfortable right here and now? That's for you to ask yourself. Has anybody been on a mission trip before? Like local or like all over the world? Anybody? Okay, so I grew up, I've told y'all this before, like pastor's kid, so I like had to go to a lot of church things. Did anybody have to go to a lot of church things, whether you wanted to or not? Your parents were like, I don't care what day it is, you're going to church today? Okay, that was me. And so when I went to college, I actually had like the choice to do these things. And I was like, I don't know what to do with all these options, right? And so I got to college. I went to Dallas Baptist University. Go Patriots, okay? Undefeated football team. Because we don't have a football team, don't worry about that. Undefeated, okay? So got to Dallas Baptist University, and my home church that I grew up in had this great, 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 great partnership with the country of South Sudan. Anybody know where that is? I probably could point to, it's in Africa, okay? And so we had this great relationship with them. And so I decided to go on this trip. I'm like 18 years old, and I'm like, we're gonna do it, man. We're gonna tell everybody about Jesus. And like, we basically get over there. We go from the big plane to the little teeny tiny plane that I was immediately uncomfortable with. I had never been on like any plane before this trip. And now they're like, get in this thing. And I'm like, I think I'm too big for this. And you're putting 10 of us on here? And they're like, it's fine. So we land in South Sudan, and we're immediately greeted by a guy with a machine gun, AK-47, if you watch a bunch of like Rambo movies or something like that. And I'm like, all right, so let's go back. And they're like, no, it's fine. And the guy looks at us, and he's like, hey, things in the country are changing right now. Like, you're not welcome here anymore. And I'm like, okay, like, did you hear him with the gun? Like, let's just get back on the plane that can probably get us back, and let's go home. And the trip leader, like the guy that we were meeting there, like comes out. It was like from a movie. He like comes out and he's like, they're fine. They're with me. I'm like, yeah, but I want to go back. And he's like, no. I know this guy. He's just giving you a hard time. And so we go the whole, like, man, 10 days or so. It's about 2 weeks. And man, we start sharing the gospel with people. We start seeing the lights come on for people. Like they've never heard of Jesus before. And it was so sweet. Man, I remember just going like, man, I don't live on mission when I'm at home because it's scary, right? Have you ever done that? Like you go on a mission trip and you're like, Jesus. And then you get back home and somebody's like, tell me about your trip. And I was like, I was doing generous work to help people that have less than me. And you're like, tell them about Jesus. Come on. And so we go on this trip and we get back and immediately I start feeling not great at all. We fly back into the States and I end up in a hospital room in Houston, and turns out I have malaria, which is like not a good time. I hadn't had it before, don't ever want it again. But the doctors think, which is also something you never want, like for the doctors to go, we don't know what you have. You're like, I don't want more doctors to be coming in and be like, let's study this guy because we haven't seen this before. Not a good time. And so they're like, it looks like malaria, but the test is not coming back as positive for malaria. So they think it's probably a new strain, but in the States, unless the test comes back as positive, they're like, we can't give you the medicine for this. Which in any other country in the world, they'd be like, here's the medicine, you're fine in no time. And so I sat in a hospital in Houston, Texas for 5 days, two of which I had a fever of 105 or above. And so if you're ever wondering, like, Emery's maybe not like all there, I was frying brain cells like scrambled eggs for like 2 or 3 days, okay? And what they did, hear this part. What they did was they started treating the symptoms. They were like, he's got a crazy high fever. He's shaking. He's doing all these things. He's throwing up. And so they started sticking ice packs under my armpits. They took all the blankets off and threw them in the corner. They put fans on me. And I was, have you ever had a fever and just like shivering like this? And did that for like 2 days to the point where the doctor was like, we have to try something different. They were treating the symptoms. Nothing changed. And so finally the doctor goes, you know what? We're just going to do it. We probably shouldn't, but we're just going to give them the malaria medicine that you could get anywhere else in the country or anywhere else in the world. And we're going to treat the source of the problem. And man, as soon as I took it, as soon as it started working, man, I was back in class the next week, fine, like nothing ever happened. I want you to get this. Just dealing with the symptoms of our sin doesn't work. Just trying to come to church to feel better about what's going on in our life and not going, Jesus, I need you to give me a new heart. I need you to give me new life. Nothing else works. We fail to acknowledge the source of our problems. We are sick. We are dirty. We are dying. And only Jesus can make us clean. Only he can fix us at the source. But hear me. This is what we're about to see with the leper. I told you we're going to spend most of our time talking about his experience. But this is how we're going to bring this together. If you're a note taker, write this down. Your experience with Jesus must lead to obedience with Jesus. Because here's what happens. Here's what happens. Look at verse 43 through 45. I'm going to read this quick. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Don't know how to say it more straightforward than this. The leper, the man that Jesus just healed, just cleansed, disobeyed Jesus. He wanted to tell everyone about it, but by doing this, everyone's attention was on the physical healing, not the cleansing that he experienced. Everyone came to see the external. They wanted to see the show. Jesus, how can you make me more comfortable? How can you make this life easier? And they missed it. Charles Spurgeon, it's going to be on the screen. Stay with me. It's a little bit long, but I promise it's worth it. There were such crowds that Jesus could not work his miracles of healing. The disobedient man was no doubt moved by gratitude, which seems like a very proper motive. Yet, his disobedience caused Christ serious inconvenience and hindered his work. And I have no doubt that there are many things done in the church of God today of which many say they are very proper and very nice. Yes, but are they scriptural? Did the master command them? If not, they will cause him and his kingdom serious inconvenience and loss at some time or another. We cannot too fully realize that as Christ's disciples, we are to obey him implicitly. And the best proof of our gratitude is to do exactly as Christ bids us. The man blazed abroad the news of his cure so that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. This is something the leper didn't get. Will you get it tonight? Think about this. Experience must lead to obedience. If you have experienced Jesus, like I'm not talking like you showed up to church and it felt good and like your grandma was like, I'm so happy you're here. But like if Jesus has brought you from death to life, from dirty, sick, unclean, outcast, hopeless, dead, to life and life abundance, and you've experienced that, man, we are called to obey him. A new life means there's a new leader. Even if we don't understand. You hear that part? Like, do we need to say that together? I don't know. But even if we don't understand, if Jesus has commanded us to do something, we are called to obey. And y'all, I am not saying like, leave here and never mess up and just white knuckle through life. No, I'm saying there is joy in obedience because Jesus knows what's better for our life. And he loves us enough to tell us the way that we should go so that we don't keep screwing it up and messing it up and living in sin. Y'all hear this? Hear me. Experience should lead to obedience. Obedience to Jesus will be strange in an unbelieving world. Just so we're clear, if you take him at his word, and you live like it's true, and you walk it out when you leave here, like we could, I think this is a pretty safe place. I hope you feel that way. The rubber meets the road Wednesday morning, Friday night, Saturday night, whatever that looks like for you. Experience should lead to obedience, and obedience to Jesus will be strange to an unbelieving world. But oh, shouldn't we live a life that looks different than a world that is far from God? Think about this. Just play this out with me. To the people in this world that are trying to earn their way, you know somebody like this? They do all the do's, skip all the don'ts. To those that are trying to earn their way, the grace of God can seem too simple. To those that are embracing the sexual sins of today, celibacy or sex that is exclusive with your spouse for the rest of your lives can seem limiting. For those that love the busyness of life, meditating on God's word in the quiet of the early morning hours seems counterproductive. For those that want to manifest things in their own life for their own purposes, praying for the Spirit of the living God to move puts things out of their control. It's gonna look different than the world if we're obeying Jesus. But I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, it's worth it. God's made us to be his image bearers. God's called us to be his messengers, and God has designed us to be a reflection of his goodness. God has called us to live lives of obedience because his way is better, and it's a good, good life. So how do we respond? We learn from the interaction that Jesus had with the leper. I believe with my entire life, with every part of me, that Jesus has cleansed me from my unrighteousness, from my sin, from my shortcomings. That because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, that I now have a relationship and I'm in right standing with God Almighty. Not by anything that I did, but because Jesus looked at a sinful, sick, dirty leper like me and said, I will be cleansed. Man, I hope that so many of you in this room tonight can go back to the day that you surrendered, that you gave your life to Jesus, that you said, I'm done. I need you to make me clean. I need you to make me new. Not just heal me on the outside, but change me on the inside. The leper got it. And then right after that, he goes and he misses it. What are you going to do tonight? If you've gone to Jesus and asked him to change your life, are you willing to go from there and listen to him? And I'm telling you this, if you want to know what the sweetest act of worship is in your life, it's not just coming and raising your hands when it's time to worship. The sweetest act of worship in your life is a life of obedience to God. That's a pleasant aroma to him. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, God gets to this point where he's like, I don't care how many animals that you kill and you sacrifice. I want your heart. I want you. All this other stuff, you're missing it. This is to point you to the fact that we, at a soul level, need God. And we need the sacrifice that only Jesus can make on our behalf. So what do we do with six verses tonight about a leper from 2,000 years ago, coming to know Jesus and then immediately disobeying him? There's three things I want to go over with you. If you're a note person or if you want to take a picture, they'll be on the screen. First is that we have to come to faith, come to Jesus in surrender. Again, if you remember that first verse, verse 40 that we read, it says the leper came to him begging on his knees, saying, I just need you to make me clean. He surrendered. His pride was gone. His ego was gone. He had tried everything else. And he said, I just need you, Jesus. Have you surrendered? Have you stopped trying everything else and come to Jesus alone? Second thing, we need to have faith in Jesus with confidence. what he says immediately is, I know that you can if you will make me clean. Man, do you know that Jesus is who he says he is? That there's nothing greater than him, that he can touch a leper and the leper becomes clean. He doesn't get dirty. Only he can do that. Do you have faith in Jesus with a confidence because of what he's done, because of who he is, not because of what me and you bring to the table? And the third thing is this. We need to obey Jesus in response to what he's done. So if there's anything that God's called you to, if there's anything that God's called you from, if God's told you that thing you keep running back to give it up and to run to him, give it up. I promise you it's worth it. I promise you God's way is better. I promise you his motive behind you giving up that stuff that you've been holding on to so long is so that you could live the life that you were designed to live in relationship with him, not apart from him. Obey Jesus in response to what he's already done for us. Obedience is an act of worship. There's a quote that I read, and I'm not sure who to give credit to, so it's not me. Is that fair? Can we just all go, okay, it wasn't me. It says this. The Lord Jesus told the leper not to tell anybody, and he told everybody. And Jesus tells us to tell everybody, and we tell nobody. The command's clear for us. If we've experienced Jesus, obedience for us looks like telling the world what he's done in our life. Who we were before Jesus, how he saved us from ourselves, our sin, our sickness, our death, and how he's given us a new life. What would it look like if we lived that way? If we were that obedient?